Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Elaine Byrne joins me from Regan McEntee and Partners, solicitors specialising in wills and probate. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for inviting me back.
Good to talk to you again. We've so many questions for you, Elaine, that we'll get straight to them. And this is a very straightforward query first up. This person is named as an executor in their uncle's will and asks, do I have to act on that? What's involved? I've no idea.
Okay, well, I would say to that listener, look, your uncle has named you as executor, so he felt you're the right person for the job and to handle his affairs. I suppose as against this honour, the role, it can be quite challenging and onerous, depending on the nature of the estate and in particular the beneficiaries. What this listener, so you've three options. You can accept your appointment and act as executor. You can take a step back, reserving your rights, or you can renounce. So you can say, thanks for asking me, but I'm not going to act. Just to be aware, there is a section, it's called Section 62, and this gives you, a period of 12 months at a minimum that you can look after things. So the beneficiaries can say anything to you within that period, within that 12-month period. What's involved then is, look, you'll get a debt cert, you'll likely appoint a solicitor, you'll find out details of your uncle's assets and liabilities, you'll apply for a grant of probate, and then you'll distribute everything according to the will. And just what I would say is really important as an executor, just to get your clearance from the Revenue, the Department of Social Protection and the HSE.
Okay, so it's not that straightforward, is it, if you're named as executor? I want to move on, Elaine, to this one because this is a little more complex. This listener says, myself and my husband have decided to call it a day, so they're going their separate ways. We haven't gone to solicitors yet. We want to keep everything amicable for the kids. What's the story if anything happens to me in terms of property? Does it go to my kids? Also, my parents will likely leave their house to me. I would like this to go to my children, not my husband. How does one go about making a will? So there's a lot in there for you to unpack.
Okay, thanks, Claire. So look, just to remember that if you have a will made already, a later marriage revokes an earlier will, but a later separation, it doesn't in and of itself revoke that will. And the other thing just for this listener to remember is that notwithstanding that yourself and your husband have decided to call it a day, that for the purposes of succession law, you will still be deemed as a married couple so that all of the rights and obligations will still apply. I think this listener, you should check the deeds for your property. So if the house is in your joint names, it's going to pass on the death of one, it'll pass to the other. So it'll be a case of the last person standing. Now, if the house is in your sole name, if you don't have a will, the rules of intestacy would apply, so that 2/3 would go to your husband and 1/3 to your children. So look, I think you should definitely make a will, but when you make the will, your solicitor will advise you that your husband is entitled to a legal right share of your estate.
And if both their names are on the documents for the house, and if she makes a will saying, I want my share to go to my children, does that work or does it automatically go, regardless of whether there's a will in place, does it automatically go to the other person?
Yeah, it'll automatically. So if it's in joint names held as joint tenants, it's going to automatically go to the other person.
Regardless of your expressed wishes in a will.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yes. This person says, my husband and I are of an age where we should have a will. How does one protect one's family so as there isn't a fight over inheritance? Oh, that's a tricky one. We also own more than one property. Will they all be subject to tax?
Okay, so look, that's a good question. So, yeah, we all want to avoid a fight over an inheritance. So certainly, I think you should make a will. And I think a really well-drafted, robust will avoid a lot of these difficulties. Also, communication within a family. But what I would say is just for the couple to discuss it between themselves, first of all, and their solicitor and their accountant, and then to chat to the family. But just, I suppose, subject to a caveat, that just in setting your children's expectations that you might amend your will down the line. And also, so at the outset there, we mentioned an executor. I think that a really well-chosen executor will be able to act as mediator and deal with any difficulties.
Okay, so get that right from the off. And this person, Elaine, says a family member has been left out of a will. They were left out for good reasons. Wouldn't you love to know why? They're now contesting the will. Is it possible a judge would overturn the decision that is clearly left in the will?
Okay, so look, I would say that courts in general are very reluctant to overturn the terms of a will, a person's last wishes. Now, there are various grounds upon which a will can be challenged. I just wonder here, maybe the family member, is that family member a child? And if it's a child, I would think the most likely ground is what's called a Section 117 application, where the child would say that the testator has failed in his moral duty to make proper provision for the child in accordance with his means by will or otherwise. Now, it is very difficult, there's a very high onus of proof on the child. So I would say, look, it's possible, but I would think unlikely. I think it would be useful just to get a copy of the attendance notes, the reasons why the child wasn't left in the will. And just, I would say just a word on costs, that sometimes when a will is challenged, there can be a difficulty about costs. So just try and deal with it and sort it out at an early stage so that money isn't wasted on costs.
Okay, Chris asks a very practical question. If I'm going to a solicitor to make a will, what do I bring? Do I need bank statements, mortgage statements, etc., Elaine? So what do you need to bring when you're going to make your will?
Okay, Chris. So if you bring ID and address verification, if you bring a note of any assets, so you mentioned their mortgage details, maybe life assurance. If you have a previous will, bring a copy of that. If you're separated, bring a copy of any separation agreements. And then when your will is signed and completed, your solicitor will likely hold on to the original and you might get a copy. And just a couple of practical things, just tell your executor where your will is, tell your family about your funeral wishes, and just that note of assets, if you keep that updated.
Okay, and a quick one to finish with. This scenario is a son who had to leave a good job to return to an almost bankrupted family farm and agribusiness for 17 years without pay, but with promises. The previous will stated he was to be given 3/4 of the farm. Then he was left no land due to a falling out with his father. Would this be a good case for a Section 117?
So, yes, we just mentioned Section 117. So, yeah, you might have grounds. You might bring a case in Section 117. Just another cause of action that occurs to me, it's called proprietary estoppel. And here, if you have, if a representation was made to you and you relied on it and you acted to your detriment, you could have a claim on that basis. There's a longer... For a Section 117, you've 6 months from the date of grant of probate, and with the second cause of action, you've 2 years from date of death. So, I would say possibly is a reasonable case here. Again, just from the point of view of costs and family relations, try and get it dealt with early on.
Elaine, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon. A huge volume of queries coming in for you. Elaine Byrne there, solicitor with Regan McEntee. Just a reminder that coming up before 11 o'clock, we'll have two doctors, Yvonne Williams and Kim Roberts. They'll be answering your COVID questions. So whether it's about transmission of the virus, how much we should be cleaning surfaces, what kind of symptoms we still need to look out for, and of course, vaccines. That's all coming up in the next hour. Get your questions into us, 51551.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.